Appreciate that song. That's when we need songs, songs in the night. Guess I have a little confession to make. I really wanted one of these other brethren to preach. I've had a very difficult week, full, and as of last night, I did not have a thought. But as is my custom, I want to come prepared whether it's used or not. So I began to seek the Lord, and I'm always looking for that little inspiration. You can take the word of the Lord and you can look through it, and there's lots of good things in the word of God. But you have to have that, just that little inspiration. So the Lord did that, and it became so large that it can't be given in one day. So I desire your prayers that the Lord will help us. I'm totally depending on the Lord for the right words this morning. If I were putting the title of our thoughts this morning on the board, it would be the doctrine of giving. So you may have to wait for it to come together. I want to start with the scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17, because it says that the word of the Lord, or scripture, is profitable. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly or completely furnished or equipped unto all good works. So that scripture may follow us for a few Sundays. What the word of the Lord does, it teaches us how to live a holy life. Without it, how would we know? We need to be instructed. We need to be taught. We need to be enlightened. So, as I thought on the word of the Lord, I realized that the Lord teaches you and me through his word by many examples. There are examples that are taught to us of how to be and sometimes how not to be. Sometimes we may see situations in people's lives, even in the Bible, and that will say, don't you be this way. So, the word of the Lord teaches a lot through the actions of others and their lives that they lived, whether good or bad. And that's just a little paraphrase there, because we have scripture that also says all of these things happened unto them as ensamples or examples. Speaking of the children of Israel. But it goes on and it says, Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And then another scripture says, I have given you, Jesus said this, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. And I realize that that is speaking of washing the feet. But I would like for us to consider the example of the doctrine of giving. God the Father was an example in all righteousness, in purity, in truth, in holiness, in perfection. And he turns to each of us today and he says, be ye holy as I am holy. So how does that hook up with giving? We have a giving God. He would not command any doctrine that he hasn't already been an example of. All of his teachings are his life. It is him himself. Doctrine is simply his teachings. The scripture says that he gave his only begotten son. That's giving. He didn't hold back. He didn't do it selfishly and say, I know how wicked men will be. I know how many are going to reject him. It's not worth it. But he did it anyway. That's the doctrine of giving. He gave his only begotten son. He did it willingly. Jesus even said, I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I do it willingly. He gave his life. Romans 8:32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, freely, what? Give you and me all things. That's the doctrine of giving. He was the first giver. As I looked into the Word, and as it began to open up to me, I considered all that God gives to you and me. And this is just going to be a little bit of the abundance of the scriptures that could be given. But first of all, he giveth life. He has given to you and me life. We're here today. We're breathing. We're mortals. We are living life. He has given each one of us life. Thank the Lord. He has given us air to breathe freely. He has given you and me salvation, the greatest gift of all was Christ and his salvation. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. I give it. And you can drink of it, and you can have, I give eternal life. If you will but come and receive it, see? So after he gives us salvation, he gives us grace, abundant grace. We're all living human beings, and we're facing the issues of our society and life. We're facing the darkness of this evil world. And yet his word says, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. So I can give you all of the grace that you possibly will need in this life. That's the doctrine of giving. He knows how to give grace to you and me. And he will do it abundantly. He is a keeper of my soul. He is able to keep us in the midst of this life. He is able to help you and me endure to the end of this life. He's able to give you and me the power. So what does he give? He gives us power. Power to overcome my flesh. My flesh is something that I war with. The scripture says the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. They're in contrast or contrary one with the other. Even though I am in this life and I have understanding of right and wrong, but he has to give me power. That's the doctrine of giving. He wants to give you and me deliverance. Deliverance from the wicked way that we once lived. Oh, nobody wants to be called wicked anymore. Did you know that there's really not any real sinners anymore? There are people that don't want to claim to be sinners. They want to say, I love God. I know Jesus Christ. I have asked God to forgive me of my sins. And they go on in their sins. Nobody goes to hell anymore. At the end of every man's life is God. And they think that God is going to receive them into heaven no matter what they've done. But I want to tell you, God will only give eternal life to those who have repented and are living free from sin. And are living according to his word. Those are the ones that will inherit eternal life, and he will give it. But he wants to deliver you and me from those things that would keep us out of heaven. Oh, we have things in our life sometimes that the Lord has to break the power, the binding power of those things. We sometimes can have a temper. Maybe we're born with a temper. Maybe it runs in the family. There's an individual that I have been made aware of that has a bad temper. And the Lord has given us a great burden to pray for their deliverance. And I like to always say in my prayer, Lord, deliver this individual like you did Delmer Wilkins. Remember the testimony of his deliverance? God gave him deliverance. You got anything in your life today that you can't overcome? God can give you deliverance. That's the doctrine of giving. Thank the Lord. He can break the power of these things in our lives. Praise God. Oh, I have a testimony of what he broke in my life. How that I was under oppression and depression all of my life. And I had no hope. I did not see any way out, and it only got worse until the first Sunday of 1980, and I was sitting right about where Sister Marlene is right now. And a message came of deliverance, of emotional disturbances. Did you know that many people have emotional disturbances of one kind or another? God can give you deliverance. I remember that Sunday morning, I literally was sitting on the edge of my seat. For the first time, I had hope. The next day, I went to the pastor's house. And I cannot remember anything that was said in their council. Or even when we prayed, but when we prayed, God gave me a box. And he said, I can take all of those things from your childhood and I can put it in the box. God spoke this to me as plainly as I'm repeating it to you. And he said, I can lock it and I hand you the key. And he said, if you ever want those things in your life again, you will have to unlock the box. And the power of that depression was broken right then. But you see, I had been in it all my life. It was what was normal to my life. But he became my counselor. And he began to counsel me with his word. And he said, first thing he said to me, there are certain things, certain words you can never say again for the rest of your life. I am so depressed. And he began to teach me that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank you. And he said, when you say, I am this, it becomes stronger in your life. You see, I would meet him at the door every day, and that would be the first thing I would say. Oh, I'm so depressed. But then the Lord said, I'll give you some words to say. And those words were this: honey, I am fighting depression today. That's how the Lord brought me out to a normal life. He gave me deliverance. That is the doctrine of giving. He knows how to help his people that will seek after him. Whatever you have in your life, he's able to deliver. The song says, he is able to deliver thee, O sinner. Oh, I like that song. But I really think that we need to personalize that song. We need to put our name in there, because the rest of the verses don't really hook up with sinning. It hooks up with faith. If you read them, read those verses sometime. Put your name in those places. He is able to deliver thee, O Maxine. In whatever you have in your life, he can give you deliverance. Thank the Lord. Oh, what else can he give? The scripture says he will give you and me peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. He's able to give it in the midst of the storm. That's why the song, needing a song in the nighttime. That's peace. He can give you and me peace when there's trouble all around, when there's a storm that is brewing and thunder and the lightning, and I'm not talking about literally. There's storms that come to you and me in our life, and God is able to give peace in the midst of the storm. Thank the Lord. What else can he give? The scripture says it. It says he can give quietness. That scripture says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quietness in your life. That's when the Lord can help you. When he gives you quietness and confidence. I love to testify about that scripture too. How the Lord gave me victory. Can he give you victory?
Yes.
Yes, he can. Thank the Lord. I was going through a very difficult time, very hurtful time. I want to tell you, if you think you're going to escape hurts, you might as well face it right now. All of us are going to be hurt by somebody at some time. So don't try to think you're going to escape. But I was in a very difficult place. And I was battling day and night for weeks. Lauren was working nights at that time, all night. That particular day, I said, I am going to not give up tonight until I get the victory. So the entire evening was spent reading and praying. I'd read a while and I would pray a while. Finally, at midnight, I just didn't have anything. I said, well, I've tried. So I went to bed. No more than put my head on the pillow, and the Lord said, get up and I'll give you a scripture. And I even answered the Lord, and I said, well, Lord, I've read and prayed all evening, but I'll get up. Just opened my Bible, and that was the verse. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I knew the Lord had given me something, but I didn't know what it meant. Went on to bed, still didn't feel any victory. The next day, in the afternoon, he and I would usually go for a walk, and I was so down in my spirit that I was walking down from our house. I was walking by myself. He came down and he said, we were talking, and he said, the strangest thing happened at work last night. He was working military mail. A package came through with a scripture on it. I hadn't even told him what I had. In quietness and confidence, it shall be your strength. You know, I think the Lord probably had to wait till midnight to give it to us both at the same time. That got my attention. If the Lord was able to do it with him, and I hadn't even told him that I had gotten the scripture, I started saying, Lord, what does this mean? You know what the Lord said? You're talking too much. You know how many people I was talking to about my problem? Two. My husband being one, and one other friend. The Lord got my attention. You want deliverance? You want him to give you something? You got to listen to his voice. And then you've got to follow it. And I quit talking about that situation, and the Lord gave me the victory. The Lord wants to give you victory today. That's the doctrine of giving. He's able to give to you and me whatever we need in this life. Believe it, trust in it, have faith and hope in it. He will give it. What else can he give? The scripture says he will strengthen you. He will strengthen me. He will give strength. Thank the Lord. He will give wisdom and understanding. Do you lack wisdom? Most of us, if not all of us, have lacked wisdom or lack it even now. Many times we act when we don't have the wisdom to act or how to act. We speak before we seek the Lord as to what we should say. The scripture says that a fool utters their whole mind. So it will pay you and me to seek the Lord. There is a scripture that is prophecy of Christ. And it says that he would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And one day when I was reading that, the Spirit of the Lord inspired it to me. You can be inspired with that scripture also. And the Lord spoke to me and said, whatever is for Christ is for you too. And I began to seek for the spirits of wisdom and understanding. He will give it to you. Will he take a bucket and just pour it out on your head all at one time? No, he begins to lead you. And he begins to give wisdom. He begins to give understanding. He begins to give these things. And they begin to develop in your life. And the Lord is the one that gives it. It's not man that gives it. I want to tell you, you cannot go get a book at Mardell's and get the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He has to give it to you. You have to seek for it. You have to ask for it. What else can he give? It says he can give the increase. Says he can give the true bread that comes down from above. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. I give you my blood. Take my blood, drink it. And many people were offended because of his words of eating his flesh and drinking of his blood. He wants to give it. And if you will take it, that life will be in you. And it will work through you. And the things that he has providing, he has things to provide for you. They will be there. Thank the Lord. So, many other things could be said that he gives. One thing that he gives, and he gives it to all people. He gives it to the people that are unthankful and unholy. What does he give? He gives the rain. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And they probably never even think about it, but God gave it. He knows how to give good things to the people of the earth. Thank the Lord. So I want you to read a scripture in Luke, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read 11 through 13. And this is what it says. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Now we're changing just a little bit in our thought, because it has to do with asking now. If he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Y'all know how to give good gifts to your children. Oftentimes our children will ask for things, especially this time of the year. Approaching this season of the year, they start thinking of good gifts. And us as parents, you know, we like to give what the desire of their heart is. Did you know the Lord wants to give you the desire of your heart? If you will seek after him, he'll give you the desire of your heart. But this says if you and I are evil, well, we're not really evil, but we're just wanting to give good gifts to our children. It says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? And it doesn't stop there. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. want to talk to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit. It is so valuable. It is the very element of your victory. And he wants to give it. But you have to ask for this one. There's a lot of things that he gives us. But this one you have to seek for. You have to be a candidate for it. It can't be the drunkard off of the street that has never repented of his drunkenness, that he says, I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit. It won't work. You have to be a candidate. You have to have Christ living in you. You have to have the blood of Jesus covering your sins. And then you can say, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, I want you to wait for this. I want you to tarry at Jerusalem because the Comforter is going to be sent. I'm going away. But you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll give it to you. And we all know what took place. 120 of them in the upper room, waiting, seeking for it. And suddenly there came a rushing mighty wind, and there were cloven fire on each of their heads, and they began to speak one language. Everyone understood it in their own language. Now, we don't have that manifestation right now because that was the introduction of the Holy Spirit. By faith, now we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit. If we ever needed it before, we need it now. It will guide us. It will lead us into all truth. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we are saved, if we have been washed, if we have been forgiven of our sins, if we have repented, we are a temple that he wants to fill up with his very presence and his power. Oh, I want to tell you, you're going to have to seek for it, though. And you're going to have to desire it. And you're going to have to see the value of it. And when you earnestly seek for it, he will give it. Thank the Lord. Don't stop until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Seek for it. Nehemiah 9 and 20, just a little portion, I wrote it down here of this scripture. It says, thou gavest thy good spirit to instruct them and withheld not. Now that's just some words out of had other things written in that particular verse, but it fits right here today. Thou gavest thy good spirit to instruct them. We need instruction. We need to be able to discern right and wrong, because we're living in a world where they say good is evil and evil is good. And I mustn't believe a lie. I mustn't believe the lies of the enemy, because what is good is good. And what is evil is evil. But our world has it twisted. And so I need the Holy Spirit. I need that good spirit that will instruct me. That will say, wait a minute. You need to understand what's happening here. You need to not be a partaker of this. Don't allow your spirit to fellowship that spirit. See? So we have a good spirit that he wants to give to his people and give them instruction. 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 27. It says, "The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you." Oh, do we not need any man to teach us? We do. The Sunday school lesson was about how that the Spirit of the Lord uses angels or ministers to give the Word of God. The Word says that it was through the foolishness of preaching that he chose to save those that would believe. Those of us that have grown up in settings such as this, where we heard the Word even as a little child, and we believed it. I know there's young people here that have only heard this kind of preaching, and they have believed it, and they have received it, and God gave it. It was through the anointing of his Spirit on his Word that it went into my heart and opened it up, and you. It was the Holy Spirit anointing. And it says here, "It is by the anointing which ye have received of him, abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, he shall abide in you." This is the value of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there may not be a man right there with you when you're out somewhere. But the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit can be there and say, "Don't do that." We don't go around like we said in the Sunday school. We're not a policeman. God doesn't make us policemen over each other. But the Holy Ghost, he will give it to you. It will abide in you, and it will teach you wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever temptation, whatever trial. He is able to teach you right then. Oh, seek for the Holy Spirit. John 14 then. And we're going to look at verse 26. And it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Oh, we need comfort. The enemy has, I say, hatched out millions, if not billions, of spirits of oppression that's oppressing people's minds, causing many to take their life. Suicide is at an all-time high, especially among young people, but not just to young. There's older people that are coming down to the end of their life, and even some of our states are making it legal to have assisted suicides. That you can set a date and you can say, "I don't want to endure this cancer to the end, so I'm going to take my life on the 22nd of November," or whatever. That's in our world. And it's the result of oppressive spirits Satan is sending them out into the earth, and he's causing people to feel hopeless and helpless. This life is hell on earth. Listen, they don't know what hell really is. They can think this world is so bad, but listen, where will you be 1 minute later? What will you be experiencing 1 minute later? So we need the comfort. Oh, seek for the Holy Spirit in your life. You may feel some oppression. You may fight those kind of feelings. But it's the Holy Spirit that will help you and give you help. It's the Holy Spirit. And the scripture goes on and it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, I will say, will give in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. Peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, the word of God is so comforting. And he gives you the word of God. This is the doctrine of giving. The last scripture is Luke 10. Oh, there's much more that could be said about the giving that God has for his people who will believe and trust and ask. Verse 19 and 20, chapter 10. Behold, I give you. This is a wonderful passage here. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Have you ever claimed that scripture? Have you ever felt like you were just being stung by scorpions or serpents? Not literally. There are situations in life where you feel the hurt that is equal to the bite of a serpent. Oh, not physically, but in your spirit and in your heart and in your emotions. I want to tell you, the Lord has taught me in this last year of what he can do with my mind and my spirit and my emotions. We are an emotional being, and you're not going to escape. Your emotions aren't going to be dead. You've got a spirit that the enemy is wanting to hinder the workings of God in your spirit, but he does it through your mind. And the Lord is able to cover our mind and cover our spirit and cover our emotions. He's able to give relief. Relief. So the promise is, and Jesus said it, I'm going to give you power over all of these things that hurt so bad. I'm going to give you the power over Satan himself. So what scripture do you think of next? Greater is he that is... Do you ever claim that scripture? When the enemy is coming against you, when the enemy is coming in like a flood, what does the scripture say? If you just simply say, I rebuke the devil, it won't work. Oh, but the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee. I'm telling you, you need to take it a step farther. You need to do it in the name of Jesus, because your word is only empty words unless it's with the power of the name of Jesus. So, Jesus said, I'm going to give you power over all of these things that are hurtful and over the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Is it a lie? or is it the truth? You may experience hurt. No, you will experience hurt. But he has a way of bringing you out of the hurt and giving you healing from the hurt. I could testify to it. Time's running out. Verse 20, it says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Thank the Lord. The last little thought that we have, it's also a scripture, but we're just going to quote it. And it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. All that God has for his people and for the people that will come to him, whoever they are, is blessings. He will give the blessings of his rich grace. And there will be no real sorrow. Oh, I'm telling you, there is sorrow in this world. Even sometimes for the people of God, there's going to be tears and sorrow and grief. You would not be normal if you didn't experience those things. If you lost a loved one, you wouldn't be normal if you didn't feel grief and sorrow. But he's a comforter. And he can heal the brokenhearted. Thank the Lord. And he will give comfort. This is the doctrine of giving. He's done it first. He's by example, he's taught you and me what it means to give. That's a whole nother subject. And maybe it'll go there. But this morning, the Lord gave it a little thought of how he gives to you and me. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.